Now, this morning's sermon text is taken from Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19. This is the finger of God. And we'll place that in its context beginning in verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. And then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. This is the third of the 10 plagues against Egypt. It is the plague of lice. Now the first two plagues, blood and frogs, the demonically empowered magicians of Egypt were able to replicate. See, Satan can duplicate something that already exists, and generally he duplicates it he duplicates it for destructive purposes that are contrary to the purposes of God. But when it came down to creating life from the dust of the earth, this is something that only God can do. Now this morning we shall look at other references in Scripture relating to the finger of God. And second, we shall consider and apply how the finger of God is at work in our own lives. First, let us go back to the beginning and see the connection between our text and the initial creation of man and beast. So we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 7 we read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And then further down in verse 19 we read, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air." So in the initial creation of man, man was created out of the dust of the ground by God. God could have created us any way he wanted. He could have just spoken and poof, we would have appeared. But God chose to create man out of the dust of the ground. And he also created every beast of the field and every bird of the air out of the dust of the ground, even including those wretched lice, right? So our text is the first place in the Bible where we find the finger of God. But we already have a basis for it way back in the beginning in the creation account. The second time in the Bible where we find the finger of God is in the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 31, in verse 18, we read, "And when he," that is God, "had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony." And the testimony is the law. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. "Tablets of stone written with the finger of God." In Psalms, David speaks of God's glory made known through creation, saying, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained." Now, the finger of God is also seen in Daniel in the context of making known the unmistakable judgment of the Lord. So we're going to read this beginning in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 5. Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, had lifted himself up and lifted up his eyes to idols. He had desecrated the holy things of God, and he was not going to be guiltless of this. God's judgment was at hand. We can't play games and blaspheme the Lord and play games with the holy things of God and think we're going to get away with it. Sooner or later, God's writing, you've heard the phrase, the writing is on the wall. Well, that's what happens here in Daniel chapter 5. Matter of fact, that's where that phrase comes from. The writing is on the wall. This is the judgment of God. It will surely come to pass for those who take things of God lightly. Daniel 5:5. In the same hour where everybody was having their big party, drinking their wine in the goblets that had been stolen from the holy place, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. See, when we realize that we've sinned and now God's come to call, we're not going to get away with it, that's a pretty scary thing, isn't it? Moving down to verse 24. And then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. I'm glad God gives us this. He gives us this greater understanding. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, which is a derivative of upharsin. Well, it's actually what upharsin is derived from. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar's sin had finally caught up to him, and there would be no redress. Now, Belshazzar, at least for the time being, might be able to live a little while. He's going to have an opportunity to repent. God knows. But the judgment had been cast. So now we go to the New Testament, and we see that Jesus, God the Son, also has the finger of God, saying in Luke chapter 11 and verse 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus has just cast out a mute demon, and in doing so had demonstrated his divinity. The multitudes marveled because this was something that only the God-man Messiah could do. Recently, in the Bible study, a sister pointed out another place where we may have an instance of the finger of God relating to Jesus. When the woman was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Now, this is speculative, but many commentators believe that he was writing scripture, in which case it brings to our recollection the giving of the law in Exodus chapter 31 by the finger of God. Let us now consider and apply how the finger of God is at work in our lives. Our existence, the fact that we're sitting here today, is evidence itself. For in Him, God, we live and move and have our being. What of our spiritual existence? The second birth, the new birth, the regeneration is something that only God can do. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, we read this. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is a little bit confused by these words of our Lord, and he said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What of the setting apart for spiritual service, our sanctification? This too is the finger of God. Jesus prays to the Father to do what only God can do, that the finger of God might be evident in our lives. And he prays, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Then we see the finger of God and the keeping power of God. We can neither save ourselves nor keep ourselves, but we are kept by the finger of God. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 6, we read, I have manifested your name to the many of you whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Friend, seeing as God has given us so great a salvation, by the finger of God it is done, unmistakably his work. What of God's providence? Do you see how the finger of God has led you through your life to this day? Maybe you had a difficult conception, a difficult birth, a difficult childhood. But the Lord's gotten you through. The Lord has gotten you this far. Maybe you're muddling through young adulthood in these difficult times. Or you're a middle age, a mature age. Do you see the providence of God in your life? Everything that has happened, that the Lord has ordained and allowed, and he's brought you to today for such a time as this. Did you see the finger of God in yesterday's revival service? Have you received answer to prayers that cannot be attributed to anything else but the finger of God? Are you a walking miracle? Have you known a walking miracle? Think not that this is not, that this is because of man's power. For this is the finger of God at work. How many doctors have been confounded by this? How many have looked upon you as a lost case, a lost cause? Yet the finger of God worked great things. Have you any prayers for healing, help, salvation for loved ones? Pray then that the finger of God comes alive in that case, that the name of Christ may be magnified and God alone be glorified. Are there any who have not trusted Jesus, his death and his resurrection work to save from sin and its consequences? Maybe you have tried drugs, alcohol, sex, crime sprees, gambling, education, self-help, some cause to make the world better, whatever, but nothing is working. And this morning you need the one thing that only God can give. You need the finger of God in your life. You need salvation. You need forgiveness from sin. You need communion with God. So pray now, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I thank you for your book, and I thank you for the inspired record of how you have demonstrated your power throughout all of human history. I thank you, Lord, for your redemptive work at the cross. And I thank you, Lord, for your work in my life. Lord, I need divine help today. And I come to you, seeking your aid. Lord, I praise you this morning for all of the great things that you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in my life. Lord, walk with me and keep my eyes focused, laser focused, upwards. As I press on the upward call of Christ Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.